Coming up, people are riding, jogging, there's motorcycles, cars going by. They never had an eyewitness. No one ever came forward and said, I saw someone fleeing or I saw a car racing away.
For Vault Studios, I'm Reed Redmond. You're listening to The Daily Crime. June 4th, 2019. It's a sunny spring afternoon in Cleveland, and a local man and his girlfriend decide to go kayaking at the city's Rocky River Metro Parks reservation.
It was 5:20 in the afternoon. It was probably 75 degrees out.
That's when they notice someone on the riverbank, a man slumped over on a park bench.
And, you know, there was plenty of traffic, people running, people on bikes, people driving by, and I was just shocked that we were the first ones to see them.
This man originally thought the person he saw may have been intoxicated. When he went to check on the victim, he quickly realized there was more to it.
That's when I noticed that there was another person on the scene. Yes, she was face down in the water on the riverbank.
Mark Namick joins us from WKYC in Cleveland, Ohio. Mark, can you start by telling me about this area, the Cleveland Metro Parks Rocky River Reservation?
Cleveland has one of the best metro park systems in the country, and that's the view of many experts that study this around the country. We have a chain of, you know, what they call reservations, 22 interconnected chains that span from the city's, you know, far west side to far east side. Gets a lot of attention for efforts to literally connect it all and ultimately bring it to Lake Erie. So it's very popular. The reservation we're talking about is an area called the Rocky River Reservation. Not a mystery where the name comes from. It runs along, there's a Rocky River and a Cuyahoga River that flow through this area on the city's west side. On any given day, you know, almost 12 months a year, you're going to find, you know, your typical joggers, bikers, and fishermen all along the riverside, as well as kayakers and others. And it's also because we're near a lot of the cities, and in this particular one bumps up towards Cleveland, a lot of people use it as just a route to drive through, a little more pleasant drive than perhaps the traffic of the nearby highway. So it's a pretty busy, pretty crowded area, and it sits just below in the valley from a Cleveland Clinic hospital that's above, and not far from a very active golf course called Big Met, which is one of the busiest public courses in the country.
You mentioned that this is a good area for kayaking, and it's 2 years ago then, on June 4th of 2019, that some people are out enjoying the park, kayaking down the river, and they spot something. Walk us through what they discovered that afternoon.
Yeah, near the river's edge are benches along this Metro Parks. That's part of the appeal. You can sit really close to the water. I think if there was a lot of erosion, these benches might even fall in. That's how close they are. But again, that's the beauty of it. You can really feel close to nature. The kayakers are going downriver, obviously, and they see two bodies, which we, you know, will quickly learn is the bodies of Kate Brown, 33 years old, and Carnell Sledge, 40-year-old, two friends that were on the bench just feet from the river's edge. They the kayakers came across them, knew, obviously, that these were bodies and called the police.
On June 4th, 2019, at approximately 5:22 p.m., the Cleveland Metro Parks Police received a report of two deceased individuals in the Rocky River Reservation. Responding officers located Carnell Sledge, a 40-year-old male, and Catherine Brown, a 33-year-old female.
Ms. Brown died of a gunshot wound to the head, and Mr. Sledge died of gunshot wounds to the head. Both of the manners of death were homicide. And as the chief said, and I can confirm, our preliminary investigation reveals nothing other than this looks like an isolated incident.
In the time since, what have you been able to learn about these two people, Carnell Sledge and Kate Brown, who were found that day?
You know, the family of Kate Brown says they were longtime friends. I mean, that's the bottom line. I think early on, people wondered if they were dating or that they were in a relationship, and perhaps there was, you know, a jealous partner involved here, but the family insists they were just longtime friends. They say that Kate used the Metro Parks as a place to exercise, play chess with her mother, and meet people. She enjoyed the park. It was part of her escape.
What do we know about their day then on June 4th, 2019? Had they come to the park together?
They didn't. They drove separately. They had agreed to meet. And they, we know that they arrived, you know, that because the police have built a pretty good timeline and it's a short one, that they had arrived around 5 o'clock, and that they believe they were shot really within the next 10 or 15 minutes based on the phone data that they looked at, and that they didn't drive together, that they literally just said, let's catch up. Let's meet down in the Metro Parks. It is on the west side of Cleveland, as I said, and they both were coming from that west side.
Another key detail in this is the way that they were shot. The gunshot wounds were in the back of their heads. What is that suggested to investigators or to the families about the nature of this crime?
The family believes that indicates that this was a surprise to them, that they didn't have a confrontation with anyone. They, you know, weren't surprised by another person that they knew, you know, coming down there. It was just something that they were completely unaware of. There is no indication based on the investigation that there was a struggle or that they fought back. You know, in many ways that, you know, pains the family, you know, just the idea that, you know, that she was shot and then died right there is actually extremely painful for the family when they talk about it. But that detail is something that haunts them.
And the other thing that strikes me, and I think it's what stands out to most people who've been following this case, is how seemingly random it is. As far as we can tell, these were just two friends minding their business, sitting on a bench in the park, chatting. And now 2 years later, we still don't know why they were killed. Do we have any indication as to who could have possibly wanted to do this? If investigators have any indication as to what a motive might have been?
No. And the family doesn't believe that the police have one either, that they're, you know, somehow not sharing it or anything. They initially, the police looked into whether or not there was a jealous boyfriend or was there a rift going on between Carnell and some other friends. None of that proved to be the case. I think in most investigations, the police always look closest to the people involved and then they go from there. And they really did run down all those leads. We heard plenty of whispers and rumors that, you know, maybe there was a boyfriend involved or what was the nature of their relationship. And in the end, it, you know, it really all proved to be they were just friends just meeting that day. And they never, you know, they never brought a suspect in. They never identified anybody as a, in cop speak, a person of interest. They got nothing. And it speaks to what you just said, the randomness of this.
What about any potential witnesses? As we've discussed, this was a sunny afternoon in the park. There were presumably some other people around, if not, you know, the kayakers who made this discovery a few minutes after it happened. Did anyone see either this happen or see anyone fleeing, anything like that, as far as we know?
No, and you know, that really does confound the police and the family, given what I, you know, talked about a minute ago at this place is generally a pretty busy place.
The area known as the pull-off lot north of the Lorraine Road Bridge in the Cleveland Metro Parks Rocky River Fairview Park Reservation is in a highly trafficked area, especially in the late afternoon.
It sits below a hospital. It's got probably a 10 to 12 foot wide bike path with, you know, two sides. People are riding, jogging. There's motorcycles, cars going by.
Tuesday, June 4th was a nice, warm, early evening. Temperatures in the mid-70s. And accordingly, there were plenty of people and plenty of activity in the park.
They never had an eyewitness. No one ever came forward and said, you know, I saw someone fleeing or I saw a car racing away. To date, we don't know that they've had any of that. We know that there has been no suspect identified. They did receive a number of tips, related to Kate and Carnell that were all checked out. Whether it was suspicious friends or anything, but there was nothing there.
We're now marking the 2-year anniversary of this. Has there been any movement or any updates at all in recent months related to the case?
No, and that has the family very concerned. The father of Kate, Tom Brown, spoke to me recently and said that, he worries that the case is being forgotten because there aren't any new tips, in that, detectives and officers that have worked on this case 2 years ago, a couple have retired, one's been promoted. That worries him, and that is a reason that the family is speaking out again. They want to remind the public and generate awareness that this case is still unsolved. And that brings us to, a little bit of tension between the family and the park system. The family, quietly went down and put up signs around the murder scene, asking again for tips, reminding people that there's a $100,000 reward. And within 24 hours, the Metro Parks took those signs down, claiming they violated the park system signage rules, and that they're not going to allow them. And the family is devastated. They believe that unless somebody is reminded, this case is never going to get solved. They're hoping that somebody at this point is talking about the murder, bragging about it. Somebody's involved in another crime where there's a link to this murder, and that, they'll call that phone number, that they'll, reach out. And that is what's driving them. They're just worried. Without awareness, this case is going to die.
Right. And that's what we hear all the time in cases like this, that, somebody must know something. And it sounds like the families have been very vocal about not wanting the public to forget about this case because they do firmly believe that somebody out there holds the answers.
Yeah, the family's realistic. They don't expect somebody to be driving by the sign and go, "Oh yeah, I remember 2 years ago I was driving by and I saw this car speed away." It really is just trying to keep it out there, that so somebody is, again, their words, bragging in a bar about it or talking about this, that someone hears it and makes that connection and calls in. Because at this point, they don't believe somebody didn't come forward that knows something from that day at that scene, because there was a lot of attention to this case when it first happened. It's rare. This may be the only double murder in that Metro Park system ever. So it got a lot of attention. And the families were speaking out, so that kept it alive. They just believed that this is now in the hands of the people involved in this murder, and that they're just hoping that someone connects it to them and calls in.
Well, we'll be hoping that we get those answers soon, and that, more importantly, the families of Carnell Sledge and Kate Brown get those answers soon. Mark Namick, reporter with WKYC in Cleveland, thanks for sharing the story.
Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of The Daily Crime. We're here 5 days a week, so make sure to subscribe to the podcast or follow it on whatever podcast app you use. And if you're enjoying the show, don't be shy about it. Tell a friend, leave us a rating and review. You know the drill. And if you're looking for more true crime podcasts, you can find a list of all of our other shows, including our weekly True Crime Chronicles, at voltstudios.com. That'll do it for this one. For Volt Studios, I'm Reed Redmond.